go into our subject again this afternoon. We still find ourselves musing over the pattern which they emerge with once in a while, that is, the enemies of God's kingdom. But in the Jewish Voice, Sammy Gatz opens his opening column by citing that all the cantors in all of Jewry will be canting the Kolanitra on this Friday night, and all of our vows which we have made will be no vows, and all of our covenants which we have made with the Goyim will be no covenants, that any agreement that we have entered into with any but with thee, O God, shall not stand. And so therefore we sing the Kolanitra, so that none of our vows and none of the things which we have pledged to do, or the covenants we have made, or the agreements which we make, or the oaths which we take, shall be of any value as of this night. And so he cites, this we did also when we entered into Spain, and we joined the Christian church, and every New Year's we took vows to say that we were not Christians, and we sought to condemn the faith, but we moved into the church so that we would cover our identity, and we would be able to hide. We had great affluence in the areas of finance and of all these things, but as we moved into the church, we were the Moranos, as they called us. Well, this was the word, a book that has been written by the Jewish Publication Society, refers to the Jews as Moranos, pigs or swine, because they made so much out of this area of their no vows and all the things which they did, they perpetrated in the church, even including the Inquisition, which was, of course, by Torquemada, who was a Jew, persecuting Protestants and Catholics alike, so they extorted great amounts of money from Protestants, much of which never landed in the church treasury anyhow. But in this design, remember again, then, that you must never trust at any time a Jew. You should not enter into business relationship with him if that's avoidable. And remember that he frees himself from any agreement that he's made with you anyhow every New Year's when he comes to it, and that all of their oaths that they have sworn, if they have become an American citizen, whether they were naturalized or not, the first New Year's comes, they forswear all the oaths which they've made, because they're only here for one thing, that's the furthering of their own culture and their own ideas as they seek to gain control over yours. And so as they come forth to boast on the pattern that emerges every New Year of the Kolanitra, it isn't often, you know, that you hear about the Kolanitra, but then you don't read Jewish newspapers either. And when someone says, what is the Kolanitra? It is the singing oath which Jews perform every New Year's, which frees them from all commitments, all standards of righteousness, or any pattern which they might enter into with any non-Jew. Everything with every non-Jew is therefore dissolved and broken before their God, which is not our God. Thank goodness for that. So we thought that, again, as we have just passed the Jewish New Year and we've just come into the first of the year, that we should remember they sang the Kolanitra this year. They boasted they sang the Kolanitra. Never forget that anyone who can sing the Kolanitra can have no lasting covenant with you or your race. As we turn this afternoon into an area of philosophy that is introduced by Christ as he unveils the tremendous area of truth in this pattern, ye are the light of the world. And so we would turn first into the book of Matthew, where he makes this statement. He's been up on the mountain speaking to the people. And as he was bringing forth the areas of the Sermon on the Mount, he brings forth, therefore, this truth concerning the pattern of the origin of the people. He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. But when they light the candle, why, they place it upon a candlestick, that it might give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. When Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount, it was addressed, of course, strictly to the peoples of the kingdom. And, of course, too many people are trying to apply the Sermon on the Mount to the way we treat all the rest of the world order around about us. They want us, of course, to turn the other cheek and do all of these things which were expressly given by Christ to the children of the kingdom. And, of course, he proves this when, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, ye are the light of the world. And, therefore, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We turn to the book of James, and we have some explanation of this pattern. For every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. There is no variableness in the Father of light. There was within him no shadow of turning. So that he who is the Most High, the eternal Yahweh, Yahshua, he is the father of all spirits, which are referred to as light, for this plane of spirits is a plane of light. As we look forth on the areas of creation, we are well aware of the creation of the flesh. We are well aware that this is an important thing, too, because we who are the flesh of God are concerned about the flesh, and we're concerned about the spirit. God was concerned about the areas of the flesh too. For this cause he came in an atonement, that he might redeem the flesh, that he might give unto it immortality. He was not worried about the planes of spirit. But in this instance, God, who is the God of light, comes out of the dimension of spirit, and the planes of spirit are synthesized out of light, even as the substances of earth are synthesized out of the patterns of the atoms. We have a body which is in light, and the Apostle Paul tells us about this body. For he tells us that we have a tabernacle not made with hands eternally in the heavens. If our bodies are dissolved, our consciousness enters into this tabernacle. Now, this didn't mean it was far removed from us. It was close at hand, and it was not visible to the natural eye, except on exceptional occasions. But he thus made his declaration. God, who said, therefore, I am the Father of light. And as I am the Father of all light, and what I have determined to do, because I am the author, creator of everything, I have created all the heavens and all the earth. I have established the patterns of the sidereal immensity around you. And all of these things I have ordained. Now, therefore, remember this. Whatsoever I have accomplished and whatsoever I have determined, I will bring this thing to pass in accordance with the view of my intellect and my mind. I will do the thing I want to do. No one's going to stop me. No one's going to stay or hold back the thing which I intend to do. And therefore, there's no variableness in my plans. What I plan to do, I will bring it to pass. I don't have to put it on the shelf. I don't have to stop it turning, and all the concepts that God has to change his plans. Well, there's somebody rejected him, so that therefore God has to make a new alternative program. All of this is folly, for God, who is the Father of spirit, the Father of light, and of all the light, in whom there's no variableness and no shadow of turning, is without question the sovereign majesty of the universe. And of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of all of his creatures, having been begotten by the Spirit in the heavens before even the worlds were framed. Of his own will begat he us. He, our Father, decided that he would have spiritual children and had children of spirit who were begotten by the God of light, and as he was light, they were light. And so, therefore, when Jesus, referring to this same company of people as he was talking to them in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, ye are the light of the world. And by this declaration, he confirms again their relationship with him, because of his own will begat he us before the foundation of the world. We have a twofold operation in this God of light. It not only talks about the dimension of spirit, which is light, and the synthesis of the spiritual attention of his people being begotten in light, and whose spirits are light, but it also talks about the function of light even in the areas of knowledge. Because as we deal with this, we discover that he who is a child of the Father and who has been begotten in the spiritual backgrounds of yesterday and now finds himself dwelling in the body of flesh, even as God has established us his family, discovers that out of the mind of the Spirit moves the wisdom and the intellect of the Most High God into the soul consciousness of the individual, where his reasoning mind exists. Thus we are the children of light, and God sees that a function of this light moves through into his children and begets a function known as faith. And faith is the great vital believing in the things which God hath said. I will point out to you that it is strictly true that you are the light of the world. In this instance, when he uses the word world, the Greek word is cosmos, which is thus defining the order of things. Ye are the light of all arrangement of human orders. You are the light of all arrangement of human orders, the orders of tribes and of nations and of men. When there is any sense to it, when there's any order in it, it is coming out of you, for you are the light of the cosmos, the world order. In fact, when Satan was trying to woo Christ upon the side of the mountain, and he showed him the entire kingdoms of the world, or the kingdoms of the cosmos, the whole organization of men and of nations and of kingdoms, and said, I will give you all of this if you will but worship me. And he, of course, who was the embodiment of the Most High God, said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written that man shall serve only the Most High. So under this declaration, the order and the cosmos, ye are the order of the world. Ye are the light of the world. And this light is especially a spiritual concept of illumination that has its relationship with all that God hath created. In the book of John, we discover that it says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend the light, and nor can they comprehend the light. And so we discover that, again, referring to the embodiment of the Most High God, Yahshua or Jesus was that embodiment. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made. He is the light. And therefore, in him was life, and life is the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Now, he was not the light that he bore testimony to, but he bore testimony to the light. What is this discussion about the light? It is a superlative, perfect comprehension that moves out of the dimensions of spirit, out of the presence of light, and into the soul consciousness of man. Now we discover here that this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The entire Adamic race has been illuminated by the Spirit, and the Spirit illuminates the soul consciousness to make its just and righteous decisions. This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now he was in this cosmic order, and those who were in this order did not comprehend that this was the God that created the whole thing. This is what it says, and he was in the world, and the world comprehended him not. They didn't perceive that this was the light, because they were in darkness, and in him was the light. And the light did not penetrate the darkness, and therefore we see that in him is light, and the light moved in the darkness, and the darkness didn't totally comprehend. We are to note that over in Corinthians we have a unique declaration concerning this thing. There are also false prophets and deceitful workers. False prophets and deceitful workers seek to transform themselves into apostles of Christ in the outer work. As no marvel, for Satan himself was transformed as an angel of light. But there is no great thing, therefore, that his ministers be transformed, and the ministers as into apparent ministers of righteousness, whose end is according to their work. And they set at odds the program of the kingdom, temporarily is set back by the ministers who are the ministers not of true light, but of the darkness. For instance, I had a discussion for 2 hours yesterday with a prominent educator who came to talk with me, and he wanted to ask some questions, because whereas this man was himself a Christian, make no mistake about the pattern of Christian, he was a fundamental Christian, he had been raised in Christianity, but he was a prominent educator. And the thing that he was attempting to rectify was what has happened to 10 or 12%, say, of the students in our nation, that they rise in a revolt against all the things which are good or true. They are in revolt against all the standards of righteousness, and they seem to be crying out, how do we know that Christ is the true God? And they were in his classes, and in one of the areas of the schools which he also taught, there was a kind of a kinship with the patterns of religion, because they were teaching in their areas of philosophy and truth what the gospel, or what the kingdom of God and the gospel of Christ taught, as against the pagan philosophies of the pagan gods. And they said, how do we know that Christ is God? How do we know that this is God? Why shouldn't we listen to these others? He said, what is getting into the areas of these people? For I see they revolt against the convention of clothing. They revolt against the way they cut their hair. They revolt against our politics. And they seem to be supported so much by leaders that have moved in out of the areas of government. For instance, the same ones that want to integrate all of our society. Now, this educator said, I don't believe in integration because it doesn't work. He says, I don't know why, but the Negro doesn't seem to have a capacity or the initiative. He has a listlessness. He never comes up to the standards of the white man. And as a prominent educator, he said, I do not see any reason why we should hold back the white race for this man. We should put him in schools of his own. I don't quite understand this, and so forth. He says, I want you to, if you can define for me any of this, he said, or you can help me to see why this is. I said, well, I think the blame belongs in the church. For the church has not been as circumspect as it should in the selection of its ministry. And Satan's ministers have been transformed into angels of light, and they have moved into the area of the church, which was established as the great light field for the kingdom. The church was to spread light and truth out in all the conduct of the nation. The church is to be the influence on the nation. Many people will talk about separation of church and state, and they well might cite that the state has no control over the church, but the influence of the church is the most mighty, important influence in all the structure of Christian nations. Most all of these patterns reflect, therefore, concepts that have emerged. As we have watched politicians emerge that have seemed to be somewhat scallywags, so also we have had Satan's ministers move into the church. And we can well tell them, and when the church assumes its responsibility, it shall cleanse itself of every false minister and relay only the ministers of light, which have built the structure of our civilization and our culture, which have carried forward the impact of its magnitude and greatness into the body temples of its household, and sent the gospel of God's kingdom to the ends of the earth. Now, when men approach and they teach in our gospels that That it's very nice that we have that we are Christians and that we'll follow the words of Jesus. Now, we'll follow him in a revolutionary sense. We will not accept naturally his deity because we're not going to accept such an old, outdated philosophy, they say. They tell us that Christ was a good man, a great teacher, and his revolutionary processes of thought were great, but we'll not accept him as Christ. And then secondly, they want to integrate all of society together. And this you'll discover, that the modern church today has a tremendous impact upon the youth of that church, who come out with a nondescript Christ, who come out without a challenging dynamic, who come out, therefore, willing to embrace anything. And if they're willing to embrace all men and to show honor to all men, why, in Washington, D.C. today, there is a temple of all faiths and all religions. Do you know that the people that subscribed and built this faith are people that belong to Methodist churches and Baptist churches and Christian churches and Catholic churches? And this was a great way of showing that they respected all men's faith. If you are a child of light and functioning in the light and walking in the light as he's in the light, you're going to denounce all the policies of paganism and everything that it stands for. And therefore, it is because we have had error out of the areas of our pulpits that we have found that it has influence on the nation. And then we permitted the entrance into our nation and the moving into positions of affluence of the sons and daughters who were under Lucifer, Lucifer's own minions. And as we have permitted them to come in and to establish the areas of their culture, they are not in the light. They are in the total darkness. They battle against the children of light. The children of light and the children of darkness are in internal battle. For the program will triumph with the children of the kingdom, the children of light, ruling the world. But in this hour, we can well point out to this man, and we did point this out, that as our nation was governed by the true church. Now, it didn't know all the knowledge of the truth. Very little of them understood that they were the Israel of God or these majestic truths that are in the scripture, but they did know who their God was. They knew who Christ was, and they recognized Christ. It made little difference whether they were Presbyterian or Baptist or whether they were Puritan or Quaker. They knew that the embodiment of God was the man Christ Jesus, who had died on the cross to redeem his people, and they sought this, they worshipped it, and they taught it. But as again he said, you are the foundation of order. You are the light of the world. If this light is not in the world, there'll be no order to anything inside its government or its activity. As we point this out again, as the white man moves into Africa or he moves into Asia, he brought the first patterns of order. Oh, they were not willing to accept the order. Sometimes they fought back. Sometimes they came in sea and waves of the darkness. But his soldiers enforced the law. His courts put it forth. But behind it all was a declaration that Yahweh Jesus was God. More than this, they established quite firmly the patterns of God. When we went into India, or when we went into Africa, it was that we are a Christian society, and that our God is big enough to put us in power, and we're going to put the world in order. This is the thing we used to teach. This used to be colonialism. This used to be advancement. You are the order of the world. Without that order that comes from spiritually identifying your thought ways with the thought ways of God, there is no order. There is nothing but catastrophe. And as I explained this to this educator again, that we have watched, therefore, and it is fortunate for us that it is only 11% of our students that are in revolt, because we have taken away from them the great principles of saying there is no other God and this is truth, and demanding the acceptance of this. Our ministers should never have said, well, we'll accept any man's faith, whether he worships at the throne of Buddha or at the throne of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Kali, all manifestations of God in some strange or unusual manner. Well, my scripture tells me that beside me there is no God, that I alone am light, and I'm the father of light, and you have light because you're the children of light, and my light fills your consciousness and gives you the entire vision that moves out to build culture and civilization in the earth. Out of the plane of spirit must come this area of wisdom. And so, therefore, as I explained to this educator, and I took about 2 hours to explain to him the patterns of truth, that the Adamic race was different from the other races, and that it had a different origin, and that the program of God was to transfer his celestial children from heaven to earth. As I spoke, he saw it. He said, why, I can see this. He said, isn't it strange? He said, I have been a minister as well as an educator, and I have never caught this value before. We didn't put a title on it. We didn't say this is identity. This is British Israel. This is the scripture. This is the living word of God. This is the light that moves into men of light. And as we talked with him, he saw, therefore, the difference. He saw the difference between the Negro body hulk and the body of a white man, because one does not possess the spirit of the father and the other has the spirit of the father. One has no capacity to give him initiative, and the reason why he must be, therefore, a subservient race and he must be held under the control of the kingdom is because he lacks the capacity in his own makeup. He is not the begotten of the Father, and we showed him where God had established quite clearly that it isn't a matter of segregation because the other people are not so smart. It's not a matter of segregation on the basis that you say that you think they should be separated for progress. It's because God said, I have separated and segregated you because you are a holy seed. You're my offspring. In order that I might illuminate the world, in order that I might build my kingdom, I've got to keep you separate and segregated, lest you lose the spiritual avenue of intellect, which is so tremendously important for the world. And therefore, God speaks out in Leviticus and speaks out in Deuteronomy and speaks out in the books of Corinthians in the New Testament for the permanent separation and segregation of his sons and his daughters as his household, as his offspring. You are the children of light. And therefore, it is quite clear that you understand this. We are filled with the pattern of growing truth. We point out to you that over in, as we think upon this area of truth and the knowledge of truth, that Jesus speaks so constantly of this, ye are the light of the world. In the book of John, he said, this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world order, and men love the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They were under the influence of Luciferianism. Everyone that doeth evil, it hates the light. Neither do they come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This is not only the only spot where this is thus brought forth, but as he speaks again, Jesus constantly cites that these people are of the darkness and their way is of the darkness. Over in Corinthians, it said, if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Now you say, what does this mean? If our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Now we discover why. Because if a person's lost, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know his relationship with the creation. He doesn't know his relationship with God. For 14,000 years, Asiatics have been worshiping devils. For thousands of years, the witch doctors of Africa have filled the capacity of what intellect the Negro had with the worship of doctrines of demons. If our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath also blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the embodiment of God, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Now, we don't preach ourselves, the Apostle Paul said. We preach Christ Jesus. We preach that he is Yahweh, and that God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and he embodied himself that he might present this light into the area of the darkness. And as this light comes, it illuminates his own sons and daughters, and the darkness revolts against it. So therefore, if it be hid, it be hid to those that are lost. We're not talking about the eternal destiny of these people. When we talk about a people being lost, they're lost in their present condition. They're lost as they exist. They're lost as they are now. And I want you to realize that a person's lost, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know where he came from. He doesn't know where he's going. Some of them may think they know where they came from, but they're lost. They have no understanding, no relationship to this. And today, the Luciferian kingdom must keep people in darkness and must keep them lost. You are the children of light, and as such, you are not the children of darkness. And therefore, we note again that in these patterns of distinction, we can well see that as the children of light, we went forth. We were not always aware. People didn't stop to think about the pattern of light, but they had standards, and they had ethics, and they moved out with it. You had statesmen instead of some of the chief politicians as well that you have influencing your society without thought. And in these areas of domination, we can well see that your race moved out to the ends of the earth. It colonized, it built, it established the laws of the Most High God. I think it's quite plain that we can see an area of confusion moving over the minds even of the nation. We were told that this day would not come, which is the day of the Lord. A falling away came first, and a falling away has moved even over your society. Because you have so many of these people who say, well, we don't know Christ now as deity, and we don't understand these patterns, and we're willing to accept all religions and move into ecumenical conferences without any question upon these things. And therefore, this is in itself a very denial of the truths of the Most High God. This is not the words of light. It is the words of darkness. We note, therefore, God has spoken forth and said, he who in times past will show that he is the only potentate, blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the only author of immortality, and he is that dwells in the light, and he puts forth the light and upon his many sons. The light of the Most High God moves forth. It is a tenuous pattern of wisdom that moves upon your society and breeds faith. This function of faith is a natural thing with you. We point out to you how far it functions and how it works. For in the structure of your society, and you can take it all the way back to the time of Christ, still as the church moved and it spread its gospels and it became a part of it, we know that we live by the gospel of God. We understand that this is the area of truth. In the course of the periods of time, the church is held to the tremendous verities of the identity of God and of his thinking and of his works. We who are the children of the Most High God, therefore, understand that there is coming a day. It's a blessed hope. It's an important day. We call this the day of the Lord. We know when the day of the Lord arrives that with triumph and with tremendous power from heaven, it shall be exerted in human affairs. You say, how do you prove this? You don't have to prove it. You know it. Because this function has moved out of the light that fills your consciousness and has created the era of faith. The scripture in the book of Hebrews, as the Apostle Paul has explained so much the mysteries of how the spiritual thought waves can so fill men that they live by it. He has referred to him how Noah lived by it, how Moses lived by it, how Abraham and his sons lived by it, how it was imputed to them as righteousness that they believed God. It was a growing, pulsing faith. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, he talks about all of the great patriarchs, the great leaders. They were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. The earth wasn't worthy of them in the world order, but they had come down out of heaven to earth, and they were performing as they were supposed to perform. They stopped the mouths of lions. They turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Some were martyred, and some died because they could not give up the faith. The faith was a part of them. It was a continuing work. We ask today, what does Christianity believe? Christianity believes the pulsing Word of God. It believes every part of the Word of God. True Christianity believes God. God who appeared and dwelt among us. God who resurrected from the grave and imparted to us the promise of life. God who in all things is God, and no one is going to conflict with his purposes nor his way. Now in this course again, he has called for the household of his to fulfill the patterns of his law. In fact, we used to make sure that the law went out of Zion. The law is going to go out of Zion again. It has come out of the teaching, therefore, of these apostles who said, yes, we are ministers of light. My, how we love everybody. How we want them all together. How we want to reduce all society to the patterns of worshiping God completely and moving together for prosperity completely. We're going to war on poverty, you know. This is the important thing. The program of God's kingdom isn't to war on poverty. It's to war on sin and darkness. Then, my friends, poverty will be dispersed when sin and darkness are placed out. Well, within this course of events, therefore, we can see that God, who has said that he is a God of light, and that under this operation we have lived through the church age. We are a part of this church age. But what have we thought about? We have thought about the promises of God. We have sought to conform to the pattern of good conduct. The law is a part of us. It's as we realize that God said, I will make the law a part of you. I will write it in your flesh. I will make you give assent to the patterns of law. We give assent to the patterns of law. The policies of temptation may make a person at some time or other seem somewhat to yield in one part of the law to the other, but in his repentance he comes back because the law is a part of him. The world doesn't turn this way. The peoples of Asia, the peoples of Africa, the peoples with their witch doctors, their pagan gods, they rejoice in the darkness. They love the darkness. They like the darkness. There's no reproval in the darkness of the darkness, and they do not come to the light because the light will reprove them. Now, by the same pattern, therefore, it is important that we remove the ministers of light who are false apostles of Lucifer and establish, therefore, in the churches of America and in the churches of the nations of God's kingdom, ministers who are the children of light, even as you are, and who will speak with light upon the truths of the Most High God. Now, of course, you recognize that you believe in the second coming of Christ. Do you realize that almost every true Christian in the world today believes in the second coming of Christ? But you'll say, I know some people that don't believe in the second coming of Christ, but they never heard it in their church. They never had anyone bring attention to the scriptures. They don't read the scriptures enough themselves. So they say, well, we don't know anything about this. What is there to this? But this is a minority in the heart of Christianity. As it is a minority in the heart of Christianity, we are working towards that day when Christ triumphant will come in, and with the host of heaven will join us in putting things in order. Now, how do we put things in order? We knock down the powers of darkness. We raise up the powers of light. We put races that have been in darkness under the light. And we see that they are ruled by the areas of light. We are, therefore, a part of a blessed hope. Now, we are not disturbed because we see the raising up of the enemy. We're told that there would be war with Amalek and the Canaanites in all generations. Everything which we are advocating at this moment is a part of the scripture. You believe it. You are sensitive to it. You don't think upon it all the time, and yet it fills your thoughts. It adjusts the pattern of your life. How many people do you know are thinking about survival? Why are they thinking about survival? Because we are living in perilous times. They're thinking about survival because they want to be here when Christ comes, so they want to be here when the victory moves in, and they want to carry out the processes for which they are so much a part of. They want to see the world transformed, as they think. This is a good thing. But I want you to know that to surrender to the thought waves of the darkness is not good. Therefore, as we turn in these the pattern of the scriptures again, we note that in him is light, and without him there is no light at all. Now of the times and the seasons, brethren, you do not have need that I write unto you. For you know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. Every last one of you in this auditorium knows that the day of the Lord is coming. You know it's coming as a thief in the night. As far as the world is concerned, it comes quickly and it comes without warning. However, you know that this day is coming. More than this, it says, therefore, when they are saying peace and safety, then will come sudden destruction. You're well hearing this today. You're hearing the voices that are supporting the United Nations, and I would say also that the derelict church is also supporting the program of United Nations. In fact, when they just promoted the Attorney General to the position of Under Secretary of State, it's because of an area of philosophy that's an error too. They want to sign the United Nations Declaration against Racial Discrimination. Now, this may seem a good thing, but this has two provisions in it alone that show that this could never be accepted. And now, as Mr. Rusk gets ready to step down, and they move this man in first as Under Secretary of State, and they've taken him out of the Attorney General's office because he was for integration. Now, listen, they are citing that any citizen anywhere in the world is a citizen in every nation of the United Nations simultaneously. And that you can move from one nation to the other at your will. And the hordes out of the areas of Asia and out of Africa can flood into the state of California, into the United States, and it's legal. And they have perfect autonomy for any issue that affects the residents of a country. They can vote on. They can vote on their leaders. They can vote on the governors. You don't have to qualify. You have no standards of election. This is what that treaty in the United Nations is. It's a trap. Now, therefore, you could flood the country and you could elect Mr. Brown again, you know, if they could put in enough Negroes or enough Asiatics that would just put the stamp down where they told them to. This is the kind of pattern that they want to follow. So they move the Attorney General to this post because they think that he will be more compatible with the foreign policy. We were already told by Mr. Ruff that the foreign policy of the United States is the same as the preamble of the Constitution of the United Nations. Why the children of God should stand against this thing firmly. As we stand for truth, you're going to be against all the works of darkness. It makes no difference whether the works of darkness is governing, influencing the men who are in government. You therefore oppose the men that are in powers in government, because as you stand for the truth is going to rise and it's going to flood over the earth and it's going to be victorious. Now again, we see the program of the kingdom. We can see order. We can see civilization. We can see the civilization that made America, or the civilization that made 100 parts of it from whence we have discovered the avenues of the families and the nations of the earth. But we want you to recognize it, because the light was filtering in all the time. The light was coming out of the spirit into the soul consciousness of your race. Wherever white men went, they had standards and they had virtues and they had truth, because the knowledge of the light came upon them. Ye are the light of the world. And if that light is hid, then the world also will plunge into the area of darkness. So therefore, the Most High said, so when they say peace and safety, and they're trying to tell us all will be peaceful, why, they're even telling us if we admit Red China to the United Nations, we can control where it will be peaceful. If we establish a world United Nations, this is the coming thing. They say this is going to be fine. If we move our economy under the World Monetary Fund and then deposit all that we have left in the areas of finance in this fund, they're going to equitize an equal amount among all the peoples of the world. This is the only place, therefore, that you'll get money, and you'll go there to a world bank and a world program of a World Monetary Fund. This is great, they say. The scripture says, thou shalt come out from among them, be ye separate and segregated, and touch not this unclean thing. I tell you again that the area of catastrophe, total disillusion of the nation, lies in the pattern of the darkness and moves out of the area of darkness. They say, oh, we're going to have peace. We're going to have peace and security. The United Nations is going to bring peace. And we're on the edge of one of the most important surprise attacks in the history of the world. In fact, the hordes of the enemy, the areas of Russia, the areas of Red China, the areas of the Red World are preparing a sudden and deadly surprise attack. And against the United States, they'll make Pearl Harbor look as though it was but a simple program concerning the plans which they have ahead. And peace will suddenly turn into the waves of destruction. God says, don't put your hope in this. Don't put any trust in this. Because you know that only truth and peace will emerge out of his program. Therefore, when they say peace and safety, the children of the kingdom know this. You understand this. You perceive it. Now you say, well, I can't quite prove it all the time. I can't remember, but you know it.
It's already moving through you. You're already thinking in terms of this. You're not only not trusting the United Nations, you're getting ready to maybe defend yourself against an overt invasion of United Nations troops that would fleece you to make you succumb to their will. Now, it says, therefore, ye brethren are not in darkness. So the Apostle Paul tells the church, brethren, ye are not in darkness. He says, we are not of the night. Ye are not in darkness that the day of the Lord is going to overtake you as a thief. We are well aware that in this hour of tremendous travesty, in this hour of great danger, that God is going to re-enter the program of human affairs with a limitless vast naval fleet of the skies and with a host of the armies of heaven. And your relatives will join you, and the host of the sky will join you, and you're going to be suddenly transformed into a powerful kingdom. Now, you say, how do I know? You know because faith has been born out of light, which moves into the seat of your intellect, that lets you know that this Bible, which is the Word of God, is continually showing you what God's going to do. It's stating what God's going to do. It's been stored up about what God's going to do. And he's giving you even the signs of the times that you know when these things are going to come to pass. And as we see these things coming to pass, we know that we are on the threshold of the day of the Lord, that it is upon us. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. Why? Because ye, brethren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light. Now, it's one thing. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. The Apostle Paul said, ye are the children of light. Ye were begotten by the Spirit. You're the children of the Spirit. You are spiritual children. You are the children of light. Now, therefore, he tells us that the children of the day, ye are of the light and ye are of the day. We are not of the night and we are not of the darkness. Therefore, they that sleep are in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But us who are of the day, we therefore know that the Lord of our salvation is coming, and it's very, very close. And so as these procedures are taught, as the things of God's truth are taught, your whole society envelops it. In fact, it's a working program. It is only the dispersion today of the ministers of darkness who have no right to stand in the pulpit today that has thrown or created this backlog of, say, 10 or 12 or 15% of people that do not see the things of truth and do not respond but go into the area of negation. And again, many of them are minorities that have no right in your society as well. And Satan has truly blinded those that are lost from the glorious gospel of Christ. The Christian nations of this world are 1/6 of the world's population, but out of them have emerged all order and all truth in the hours of their rising. And you can well see the chaos follows the area of their removal, as it has in the Congo and as it has in other areas of the world. We can see again that where truth is proclaimed, it is therefore the truth that moves out of the gospel of Christ. It is the heart of your culture. It is the heart of your society. It is the illumination of your mind. There is no problem that besets your society that is not solved by the truth of God. Now, we think of how, for instance, when we sent a president of the United States over to India. We've had presidents that went Galvani, and one of them was Mr. Eisenhower. He went to India. He comes to a land of pagan darkness. He comes to a land that has its temples in garish display in every city and is set to the gods of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and Kali, and 100 sub-gods of Hinduism. He sees within it the vastness of its priesthood, for the size of its priesthood all outnumbers any provincial area of ministry, for you'll discover that better than a fifth of all the peoples of India are priests in the temples of idolatry. You'll discover that its rulers have been in league with the rulers of darkness. And by this policy, their coffers are filled with gold and silver and jewels. And you say, how can such an impoverished country have such vast riches? But it has it just the same. They've washed them out of the soil. They've taken them out of the banks of earth. And they have deposited them in the temples and in their maharajas and in their rulers. But when they brought the President of the United States there, they would do him honor. So they took him first to the temples of Kali and to Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. And as he approached the temples in the company of their statesmen, they reached out then to put a caste mark upon his forehead that said that he was now becoming a part of Hinduism and was subservient to those Hindu gods. This was the honor they were to bestow upon your president. The President of the United States, had he been a man of integrity and virtue, had he been informed by his church of his position, he would have been so positive upon this, he would say, gentlemen, I know you seek to honor me, but I cannot accept this caste mark. I cannot do homage unto your God. For there is one God in heaven who is Yahweh, Jesus the Christ. He would have been president to this day, I do not doubt. But we didn't have that capacity of leadership. We hadn't had leadership like that, I don't think, too strongly, since the days of Teddy Roosevelt before. But anyhow, we didn't have that kind of leadership. In fact, in this hour, he accepted the caste mark. He bowed before the idols. He was brought in to address the assembly of India with a caste mark upon his forehead. This, my friends, is also to be laid in the charge of responsibility against the church which should have so cleared the doctrine of thou shalt have no other gods before me, that no representative of our nation, no one that could arrive at the point of presidency, would have allowed them to rubber stamp him with a pagan god. Strangely, as we see the patterns of God's prosperity resting upon the nations that serve him and love him, they have enough to eat, and they have enough food, and everything they turn to, they can manufacture and they can produce food. Why, in this country, it seems like your whole technology can move out and produce more food, more food, more food. You can have so much food, you don't know what to do with it, and the pagan countries can never get enough to eat. And this is just a little bit of the creation of the universe. As God created the heavens and earth, he sends the sun down and the rain down on all peoples, but at the same time, they don't know how to make use of it. They don't know how to establish it. God said Adam had a green thumb. He said there's no man to till the soil but Adam. And when these people are in adjustment with God and the ways of truth, then they absorb the teachings that you give them and they can produce enough seed. But in your time, you have turned even from this area of the Most High, because we've let the 10 and 12% move into the areas of influence in our government and express entirely too much influence, because the children of darkness instead of the children of light are holding a lot of the important seats in your government. Why, we gave India millions of bushels a week. We gave it millions and millions of bushels from along the railroad tracks and out of our granaries where we had it stored. God says, don't give it to them. You sell it, but don't give it to them. Don't you bestow my blessings on the pagans and on the heathen. If they want to acknowledge me, if they want to accept me, if they want to turn to the light, but don't you send any of your blessings on them. But you didn't take any moans about that. You even paid your own load of ship. And then God said, all right, I'll curse your blessings. I'll show you that you're my people, but I'm going to show you. And so he did. In fact, we had such a drought this year that it just had a slight breaking of the drought in the East Coast, but too late to save the crops. All the truck gardening, all the peas, tomatoes, and corn, and all these things, yet it was totally burned. The ground looked like scorched earth as you move into the New England states. They're moving from Missouri east. And in the areas of Kansas and Nebraska, there was not enough grain to save the crops. And most of the crops, most of the wheat ranches failed. And today we're facing a food shortage. They're even talking now about putting out ration tickets to be used after Christmas on the commodities that are going to be short on. Bakeries may have to have food stamps to buy bread. Now think of that, because we have given away so much of our wheat, and we've given it where God told us not to, until at this moment you face the problems of food shortage. I want you to recognize that when a nation is to be guided, it's to be guided by the light. And they that are in the light, so let that light shine before men that they are influenced by it. So in the declaration of the Most High, he was the father of light, said, you are my children, therefore you're the children of light, and you're not the children of darkness. We may watch well the inference of our faith. Our faith dwells within us. It lies within us. We don't have to think of every passage of the book, but you can't help thinking of it as you think upon these things. We know the course of time. We know God transferred his kingdom from heaven to earth. We know they're in the flesh. We know he redeemed them from their faults. We know that he's promised them eternal life. We know he has given us the words of truth, that we have built our civilization and our culture to the ends of the earth on it. We have gone retrograde over the last 30 or 40 years of Jacob's trouble. We're going to push it again as we push the program of God's kingdom in the light. And the light's going to go out to the ends of the earth until every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim that Christ is Lord. We accept no halfway measure. We are not, my friends, at peace with the world. God didn't bring peace to the world. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. For the darkness is devouring my people. It is waging war against the kingdom. It's seeking in this town to devour the people. As darkness moves out of the hordes of communism and they gather the areas of the Negroes to burn, to kill, to loot, to rob, while they demand an equality which they have no capacity to enter into, because they are not in any way the equal of the white man. But as you look in this city, what do you have? You have burning cities. You have the looting. You have the watch riots. You have the riots that have hit every city of the country. What is this? This, my friends, is the darkness coming out. It shows itself. It is in destruction. They are the children of destruction following the darkness, and you are the children of light. And in the nations of God's kingdom, where the children of light are the majority, light should shine forth.